So a question I have for you is this. Do you have a hard time focusing in on the Lord? Do you have a hard time focusing in on the Lord? Maybe there are days that you have a hard time focusing in on the Lord. Maybe it's weeks. Maybe it's months. Or maybe for some of you, it's been years since you've really gained the focus that you need on the Lord. So Jesus wants our focus, obviously, to be on him. So today in Matthew 14, 22 through 36, we're going to learn what causes us to have focus issues and then how we can keep focus. So the story is Jesus walking on the water. So I want to read the account and then I'm going to talk first about what causes focus issues. So if you pick up with me in Matthew 14, verse 22 says this, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. So this is right on the heels of Jesus feeding the 5,000. So he said to his disciples, get in the boat and I'll dismiss the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When the evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it is a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, this is the Son of God. So the first thing I want to deal with is this. What causes us to have focus issues? And I believe that the disciples at this point all had a focus issue. And it was really this. It was not recognizing the power of Jesus. In verse 26, I'll read again. It says this. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it is a ghost. And they cried out in fear. See, at first, they didn't believe that this was Jesus walking on the water. When they saw this image of this man walking on the water, they might have recognized in some sense that it was Jesus. They might have thought it was Jesus, but they all were afraid and they said, oh no, it's a ghost. So they didn't recognize the power of Jesus, the fact that Jesus could miraculously do this. Even though they just witnessed Jesus feeding 5,000 people with a small portion of food, they still were skeptical. They still didn't recognize the full power of Jesus. Not only did they not recognize it, they attributed it to something else, a ghost. Oh no, it's a ghost. It's a spiritual thing. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to just call it a ghost. That's what I'm going to say it is. They were afraid. They were confused, and more importantly, they didn't recognize the power of Jesus. Do you know what? In life, we're going to witness the power of Jesus, but oftentimes, we don't attribute those things to God. We don't attribute his power to him. Sometimes we don't recognize it. This is important for us to realize because sometimes in life we start to think of things like this. Like if we have a good job, we think to ourselves, I got a good job. I got myself this good job. If we get a raise, we think, I earn a raise. If we get a new house or a new car, we say, I earned this. I bought this. I accomplished this. If we get good grades in school, we think, I get good grades in school. If our kids are good kids, we look and say, I am a good parent. See, what happens is this. We start to look at our life and we don't recognize that it's the power of Jesus working through us. See, it's interesting because when things go well in life, a lot of times we either, one, we take the credit for it, like, I did good, I'm a good person, I accomplished, or we forget to attribute it to the Lord Jesus, and then we think this happened by chance, or I got lucky, or this is a coincidence that I'm in this situation. And we don't look at this power as something that came from Jesus. We don't recognize his power. So our focus is out of whack, isn't it? It's out of whack because we're not attributing what Jesus has done in our lives to Jesus. So we fall into this trap, but interestingly enough, we don't attribute the good things to him, but when something bad happens to us, what do? Okay? Then we start to blame Jesus, don't we? Why would God do this to me? You know what? Being a pastor for all these years, I've answered that question so many times, and I don't have any good answers to that question because here's the thing. It's not a good question. Okay? We can't look at God and say this. We can't say, okay, I accomplished all the good things in my life, but now when something bad comes into my life, I'm going to blame you or wonder where you were or where you are. See, the fact that we don't recognize the power of God is often shown in the things that we're not willing to ask for. Do you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7:7? Jesus actually said in Matthew 7:7, ask and you shall receive. He said, ask and you shall receive. So what Jesus is really saying is, listen, I have this power, and I'm willing to share this power with you, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to request the power from me in some senses. So I want to ask you a question. Do you believe that Jesus can heal people physically? Well, some of you say, yeah, but then I'll ask you this other question. Do you pray for the sick people that you know? When you hear somebody's sick, are you like, oh, that's tough, I feel bad for them, or, you know, I wouldn't want to be in that situation? Or do you say, you know what? God has the power to heal that person, and I'm going to go to him for that. I'm going to go to him on behalf of them. Do you believe that Jesus can save people, that people can become Christians? Well, let me ask you a question, because I'm sure you believe that because maybe that happened in your life. You're a Christian because you trusted in Jesus as your Savior. But do you daily pray for people that are not Christians, your friends, your family members, your neighbors, people in school, people at work? Are you daily praying for them? I mean, you and I both know many, many people that don't know Jesus as their Savior. Are they on your prayer list? Is it important to you? I remember this thing I used to do a long time ago with the youth ministry, and I think Pastor Steve still does it. In the beginning of the school year, I would give the kids this little card, and it was their, I called it their reach card. And it was, you know, write down names of three people that you would like to reach out to this school year. And it was always so interesting to me because kids that really took it seriously, they saw evidence of that. I had kids come up to me at the end of school year or in the middle of school year. They're like, Pastor Mike, my friend's here. And guess what? And they pull out of their wallet, their name's on my card. And I was like, yeah, that's awesome. It's because you were praying for them. You were looking for opportunities to actually invite them, to actually talk with them. Because you truly believe in the power of God, you're actually going to him daily. You know, we could look and say, eh, that person's never going to become a Christian. They're rough around the edges. They're hard to this. They don't love God. They love the world. They're an atheist. They're an agnostic. They're a different religion. But you know what? If you really believe that Jesus has the power to save them, you'll continue to pray for them. Do you believe that Jesus can deliver you from a difficult situation? You know, trouble comes into your life. Do you believe that Jesus has the power to actually deliver you from that? Well, if you do, you'll actually pray. You know, oftentimes we rely a lot on our own power, don't we? We rely a lot on the things that we can do. Now, this isn't just a guy thing, but I'm going to speak to you guys for a second. A lot of times guys want to solve problems, right, guys? I mean, a problem comes into your life and you want to solve it. You want to fix it. Well, the thing is as a Christian man and a Christian woman, we need to go to the Lord with that problem and put it at his feet. So many times in the Christian community, I hear this. When everything is bleak, when people have tried everything, they say, well, there's nothing else that we can do except for pray. I'm like, duh. Shouldn't we start with that? Shouldn't we start with prayer? That's where we should start because Jesus actually has the power to do something about that difficult situation. If you believe that, you'll pray to him and ask him to help you in that difficult situation. See, we do not ask because we don't recognize that he has the power to help us. Because they did not recognize Jesus' power, Peter asked Jesus, a question. And this is interesting because in verse 28, he said this, and Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So this is pretty bold of Peter, right? Okay, Peter's looking at Jesus saying, okay, Jesus, you said, it is I, do not be afraid. If it's really you, let me do that too. That's pretty bold. It's a pretty bold request. Which brings me to a question. Is it wrong to ask Jesus to show himself in a situation? Is this what the Bible would call testing God? Well, I think this really answers the question. This passage really answers the question, and I don't think that it's wrong to ask Jesus to show himself, because here's how Jesus responded. Let's look at verse 29. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. So at this point, Peter was faced with this. He asked Jesus this question. Jesus answered it by saying, yep, it's me. Come on out here. Imagine what Peter must have felt like at this point when he stepped out of that boat, something that he's done many, many times, and he went for a swim, okay? Today, he stepped out of the boat onto the water and walked towards Jesus. So if you do not recognize that Jesus has the power to do something in your life, you need to ask him to work in your life like Peter did. But you know what? Maybe your problem isn't that you don't recognize the power of Jesus. Maybe your problem is that distractions in your life challenge the power of Jesus. You and I both know that there's many distractions in life, don't you? I mean, we live in a society where everything distracts us. This coming week, I'm going to Niagara Falls with my family. And, you know, we called up the credit card company and all this stuff to tell them, okay, we're traveling. Is there like an extra fee if I buy stuff in Canada, whatever? And then we called Verizon to find out about our phone. And I found out it's international calling. It's a lot of money to text and call. So basically what we decided is we're not using the phone while we're there. We'll use it in Wi-Fi to check email or whatnot. But at first, when I found this out, I was like, oh, man. But then after I thought about it for a few minutes, I was like, yeah, this is awesome. Because you know what? My phone plays a huge part in the distractions in my life, just like you probably feel this way as well. And a lot of times those distractions keep us off focus. So Peter met with some distractions to his focus on Jesus. Let's look at verse 30 and see what happened. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. So now here Peter's distraction is this. There was trouble under him. There was wind. There was choppy seas. And he saw that. He was looking at Jesus, but then he got distracted and he started to sink. Now, interestingly enough, that's what happens to us. Ask yourself, what's distracting you? Maybe it is something like a phone and just like the busyness of life. But maybe it's a relationship problem. Maybe it's a financial problem. Maybe it's a health problem. Maybe it's a school problem. Maybe it's a career problem. It's something that's consuming you so much that it's getting your focus off the Lord. And it can manifest itself in many different ways. But the main point here is this. Whatever is consuming you can be distracting you from focusing in on the power of Jesus. Not only could it be distracting you, but it could actually be challenging the power of Jesus. Because in some senses, when Peter was walking there, he was like, these things are bigger than Jesus. What's happening here is more powerful than Jesus because I'm not focusing in on him any longer. So how does Jesus respond? Peter's sinking. How does Jesus respond? Does he look and say, yep, that's right, you're sinking, you're off focus, bye-bye? No, that's not the Lord that we believe in. That's not the Lord of the Bible. Let's look at verse 31. He says this, Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? So now Jesus asks him, why did you doubt? You of little faith, you were out there, you had it, you stepped out of that boat, you were on the water, You were walking right towards me. Why did you doubt? Why did you get distracted? Why did you look all around except for me? Why did you doubt that it was me in the first place? See, but then it makes us ask this question. We see the work of the Lord in our lives. We've experienced the work of the Lord in our lives, but then oftentimes, right, we get off focus. We start to doubt again. We start to not focus on Jesus. We start to think that the problems or the issues that we're going through are bigger than Jesus, or Jesus can't take care of it, or maybe there's a time where we're straying away. So we all have reasons that we doubt. And as I was praying and preparing for you, I was thinking, okay, now would be a good time to calm some people's doubts. But then I realized that in a church our size, that there are probably many doubts and many questions, and I can't in one sermon hit them all. But then I started reading the scripture again, and I realized that it gives us clear instructions on how we can keep focus no matter what the doubt that comes into our life is. So that's the question we're really going to answer. How do we keep focused? See, in some senses, it's almost like doubt-proofing our faith. See, when we practice these next four things that we see in this scripture, the doubts that arise about his power are going to be quickly dealt with. So the first is this. The first is we ask for his power. We ask for Jesus' power. Let's look at verse 30 and see what happens. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Okay, this is really the most basic form of reliance, isn't it? I'm sinking. I need you to save me. The most basic form of reliance, we see this in children every day, don't we? If you have kids, right? Where they look up at you with their little eyes, and they're like, "Mommy, Daddy, help me." Okay? You might remember this, or you might be a grandparent, and you might remember this or see this in your grandkids. Help me. I need you. Help me. Don't our kids do that all the time? Well, you know what? Jesus is actually saying, you're my kid. You need to do that. You need to ask for my power daily. Now, this is interesting because a lot of times in life, here's what happens. We get up in the morning and we do our daily routine, right? And we've done our daily routine every day for the last however many years. And we think, I got this. I get in my car. I drive to work. I go to work. I deal with all the people there. I deal with my boss. I deal with all the work that I have to do. And then I get in my car and I drive home and I deal with the rest of my life. I got this. I don't really need any help with that type of stuff. I got this. Or we look at a situation, we wake up in the morning, and we realize that we're going to have to deal with something, some issue or problem that we don't have. And we think there is no hope, and this will not work out, and there's nothing that can deliver us from this or deliver me from this. So what Jesus is actually saying to us is, you need to daily ask for help, whether you think you have it or whether you know you don't have it. It's the practice of prayer in our lives. Rather than relying on yourself, like R.C. Sproul says this, most Christians salute the power of God but believe in the power of man. I got this. I believe I have this now. Saluting the power of God, but believing in your own power. See, your daily requests to God demonstrate that you rely on him. So the Christian, each day, should ask for his power. No matter if it's a routine day that you don't think anything's going to be different, and maybe nothing will be that different, the Lord is saying, you know what? You need to ask me for help. It's a daily routine that you need to get yourself into because it's showing me that you trust in my power. But calling out to Jesus keeps us focused. But the next step in continuing to keep focus is this. Observe his power. Notice in verse 32, let's see what happened here. It says, and when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. This is amazing. Okay, there is a windy day, some chop on the sea. When they both got into the boat, it ceased. Have you ever been out on the water? Have you ever been out on a boat on a nice glassy day? You like those days, don't you? Especially if you're a boater. You're just like, this is what I look forward to. A nice glassy day. If you have like a speedboat, you're like wide open. This is going to be a nice ride. But if you're out on a choppy day, you're like, oh, this is tough. This is terrible. So now all of a sudden, through all this, Peter was afraid because of the wind and the waves and everything that was around him. And Jesus jumps in the boat, and Peter jumps in the boat, and everything ceased. All of a sudden, they just observe the power of God right before their very own eyes. You know what you need to do and I need to do? We need to take a look around and see what Jesus has done in our lives. Observe what he has done thus far in your life. The decisions that you made, the places that he led you to, the things that he has done in your life. You can't forget about those things. You need to look around and be reminded, wow, it was the power of God that got me to the place that I'm at today. It was the power of God that delivered me from whatever that issue was or the problems that I was having. See, one of the reasons why we doubt the power of God is because we don't attribute his work to him. We think to ourselves, like I said before, I worked hard, I did a good job, I made a good decision, I'm very smart, I'm good, etc., etc., etc. We take all the credit and we don't attribute the good things to the one who gave us and did the good things in our lives. See, do you realize the entire secular world wants to convince people to believe there's either no God, or if there is a God, he's not involved in the affairs of humans. That's what the secular world wants us to believe. There's no God, or if there is, he doesn't really care. He's not involved in our lives. The entire secular world wants to teach you and your children that if you believe in yourself, that you can accomplish anything. Have you heard this before? That sounds like a nice message, doesn't it? And I'm not speaking out against people that are positive. But here's what the Bible says. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through who? Christ, who gives me strength. So now what the Bible worldview is this. I've implanted in you the Holy Spirit that can work through you and in you to accomplish things. See, but the secular world wants you to think that you have it all in yourself. And that's what's going on. To go one step further, why do you think that the secular school system wants to teach our children that there is not a creator God? Why do you think they want to teach that? Well, really, subconsciously, it's this. They don't want people to believe that there's a powerful God that's in control of everything and that we have to look to that powerful God. See how this is working against us? See how this is working against God? And it's taking the very power of the things that he has done and attributing it to something else. Paul dealt with that in Romans, do you remember? Attributing the power of God to gods that aren't even real. So not only do we have to ask for his power, not only do we have to observe his power and realize the evidences of God's grace in our life, but what we need to do is we need to worship his power. Let's look at what they did in verse 33. It said this, "And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" So Jesus and Peter just walked on water, they got in the boat, and the disciples could have said a lot of things like, wow, that was cool, how did you do that? Show us how we can walk on water. Can I get your autograph? They could have did a lot of things, they could have said a lot of things. But what did they do? They fell down and they worshiped him. You know, a great way for us as Christians to keep focused is worshiping his power. I'm so glad you're here today, and here's why, because that's what you're doing. You're being reminded of the power of Jesus, of the things that he has done. When you come to worship service, when you sing praises to his name, when you hear his word, when you hear corporate prayer, when you partake in communion, when you fellowship with other believers, what you're doing is you're reminding yourself that Jesus has the power. You see, some have gone astray and they disagree with that. I don't need to go to church to have a vibrant faith. My faith isn't dependent on me being in church. I came across a quote from none other than Miley Cyrus, and she said this, "I don't define my faith by going to church every Sunday. But you and I both know that based on some public behavior in the past, Miley Cyrus maybe should get herself into church, okay? Why? Because it's a reminder of the powerful God that she's saying that she believes in. Why not be around other believers? Why not worship his power? You know what it does for us? when we come to church, and I know that it does this for many of you because you've told me so, it resets me for the week. It reminds me of what's important. It helps me through the week. Inevitably, something that you hear or sing or read or hear prayed about kind of comes back throughout the week and reminds you, yeah, you know what? God is powerful. He does love me. And here's a side note as far as being in church or coming to worship service. If you have a problem with another believer, especially in your church, you know what Jesus says? He says, take care of that before you worship. Why? Does he say you can't worship if you have a problem? In some senses, he might. And I think that you might be able to worship in some senses as well. But what he's saying is worship is such a regular practice for a Christian. If a Christian has another problem with a Christian, then regularly they should be working out those problems. Okay, so at the end of the week when you go to worship, or at the beginning of the week technically, when you go to worship, if you have a problem with your fellow believer, you go and work that problem out. And then you worship the Lord together. But finally, a way to keep focus is this. Proclaiming Jesus' power. Proclaiming his power. Let's see, at the end, after this whole account is done, they dock the boat, and here's what happens. Verse 34 says this. And when he had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent around to all the region and brought to him all who were sick and implored him that they might only touch the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. So here's what happened. Everybody found out about who Jesus was. And guess what? They all started to proclaim the power of Jesus. They knew Jesus had the power to heal. So what did they do? Bring the sick. Bring the hurting. Here is the one who can make the difference. See, but you and I, we need to proclaim his power daily. And it's this power to save. Because if you are a Christian, you believe that you are a sinner that needs a Savior. You also believe that Jesus is that Savior that died on the cross to pay the price for you. You also believe that Jesus rose again to prove that he was God. You also believe that Jesus said that whoever believes will have eternal life. So you know what can save an individual. So the more you proclaim that power, the more you're reminded of that power. The more you keep focused. You know, for me, there's no better reminder than seeing a person become a Christian, than seeing a person trust in the Lord Jesus. I've seen so many people in the course of my lifetime, so many people where I said in the back of my head, I don't think that person would ever become a Christian. And they do. And I'm surprised. Why should I be surprised? You know, it's interesting because God will give you also divine appointments to talk to people. Just something that happened to me just this week. I brought my kids to a water slide, and they were on a two-hour pass to the water slide, and there was a little picnic bench, and I was like, this is awesome. I bring my laptop, sit at the bench. I have 2 solid hours just to work on my sermon, just to do work, just to get, you know, just to study. 5 minutes into my 2 hours, some guy comes up to me and says, hey, there's no more seats left. Is there anybody sitting here? My wife, meanwhile, is shopping. I'm like, well, my wife's going to come back. You know, I didn't want anybody to sit with me. I put all the bags out. I was trying to, like, stake this place out for myself because I wanted to work. This guy's like, well, you know, I can just move this bag and I'll just hang out till your wife comes back. I'm like, okay. You know, so he sits down and he didn't want to sit there and just read his paper. He wanted to chat. Okay, and you know how when you get in that mindset, right? You get in that mindset, and you're just like, I got to get this done. I have my checklist. And so he was like, hey, what do you do for a living? Close my computer. I was like, it's on, okay? So after about 2 hours of talking to this guy, we had an amazing conversation. I would love to say I led him to the Lord. I did not, but I told him about the Lord. I told him about the gospel message. And I look and I say, you know what, Lord? I went there today to work. But you said, you know what? You're going to proclaim my power to someone else. I have a divine appointment for you, and you're not going to be so stubborn and so silly and so stupid not to take it. So here he is. Talk to the guy. You know what? The more things like that happen in my life, the more I see people trust in the Lord, the more I see those seeds planted, the more I'm reminded of his power. He's in control. We're not in control. You know, I try to control things so much, but he's the one who's in control. So we continue to proclaim his power, so we stay focused on his power. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. I thank you for each person that's here, and I thank you, Lord, for revealing yourself to us. And I pray, Lord, that as we continue on together as a church, that what we learn today isn't just a go and do today or go and do this week, but it's a constant reminder to keep our focus on you, the powerful one, the one who saved us, the one who delivers us in times of trouble, the one who heals us in times of sickness, the one who loves us when no one else will love us, the one who serves us more than anybody's ever served us. I just pray, Lord, that we keep our focus on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.